Hi, so I'm going to read from the Bible tonight, and just before Nick comes to speak to us. And I'm reading from Luke chapter 14. So when you finish doing your menti, if you've got a Bible on your phone, you can look up Luke 14. Or there's Bibles in the pews in front of you. Somewhere along the line, you can grab one. Luke's about there in the Bible, if you're looking for it. So Luke 14. So just a little bit of what's going on here. Jesus is at the house of a very important person, and he's there to have a meal. So we're going to start at verse 12. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbours. If you do, they might invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous."
Let's just pray as we open God's word. Father, as we come to your word now, through which you still speak to us today, we just open our hearts before you. We pray that you will teach us, that you will speak to us by your Holy Spirit. Father, that you will speak to us what it is you want us to hear tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So tonight we're going to begin a three-week series on some of the DNA, some of the vision that we have for this new 4:30 service. Tonight we're going to look at being a place to connect, a place to belong. Now, some of you wondered why we started 15 minutes late this evening. We didn't. We deliberately postponed the start beyond 4:30 because we want to nurture a culture of interaction and connection and building relationship right at the start of when we come together on a Sunday afternoon. So from 4:15, we'd love you to come and join us for tea and coffee out the back here. You can float in the back of the church. There'll be some goodies to eat, some good ones next week. You'll have to come and find out what they are. But we want to start with that time of connection, interaction over tea and coffee, and then we will start the actual service about 4:45. But if you come at 4:45, you're missing the point. You've got to come from 4:15, or at least by 4:30, because 4:30 is the start, but we start with tea and coffee. I think you get what I'm saying. And then next week we're going to look at being a place to explore. We want to create an opportunity through this service for people, for everybody, anybody, to come with questions and doubts and fears and scepticism, whatever it might be, wherever you're at in life, whatever you're at in life's journey. But just to be able to come and to wrestle with those questions, to explore those things. And we are seeking to make it, in the way we go about things, to make it helpful for you in learning more about who Jesus is, what it means to be a Christian, what's the church all about, and so forth. And then in the third week, we're going to explore being a place to grow. Because we're all about transformation and change and becoming more like Jesus. That's what it means to follow him. And so we're excited to be able to delve a little bit more deeply into each of these three areas over the next few weeks. Tonight, we'll start with our first one of being a place to connect. It's July of 2010, and it's only a few days before my wife, Nat, and I and our young children are heading to Vancouver to live for 2 years. The idea had only come to us just 6 months ago, and I know that God has led me to go and study theology at a Bible college in Canada. We've been busy selling our house, getting visas and passports and all those things you do, organised, and finding somewhere to live when we arrived. And the final weekend before we fly out has arrived, and I'm feeling very emotional. It was a very emotional weekend. I was born and raised in Devonport on the northwest coast of Tassie and have lived there my whole life. And all of my immediate family, most of my extended family, are still living there. And the reason this is so emotional for me is that I have a sense that we are leaving Devonport for good, or certainly for a long time. This isn't just a chance to experience something different for 2 years and come back, although we don't know what the future will hold. We're ready to get out and experience something different, ready for a change. It feels like we're heading off on an adventure and we're really excited about it, but also sad to be leaving behind our lives to this point. We say an emotional goodbye to family at the Launceston Airport and off we go. After arriving in Vancouver about 16 hours later, we collect our bags, we catch a taxi to the house, an empty house that we have rented from another family for the first 6 weeks while we try and find something more permanent to live. And later that night, the kids are all in bed and it's very quiet, and I look out the window and in the distance I can see the city skyline. And unexpectedly, I feel this emotion that I had never experienced before. As I look at the city lights, I feel this deep sense of being unknown. Have you ever had that feeling? We'd come to this city of 1.5 million people to live and we didn't know a soul. I'd spent the first 33 years of my life in the same place, a small town of just 22,000 people. It's called a city, but only here in Tassie, of course. I went to school there. I worked there. I played sport there. I went to the same church there. I was known. I felt connected. I belonged. I didn't have to explain my background to everyone. I didn't have to explain where I was from to everyone. I wasn't anybody significant, but some people knew my name and knew my story. I didn't know one person in Vancouver. And not one person knew me. And in that moment, I thought, what have we done? I started to realise that night the deep need we each have to be known, to belong. I long for this, and I know you long for this, because every human being longs for this. I remember that feeling persisting in the first few weeks. But it wasn't long before a family from church invited us back for lunch. They recognised we were new and reached out to us and we felt welcomed. The same guy looked out for me on my first day of college, introduced me to some of his friends. I started to meet people, hear some of their stories, and slowly started to connect with others and feel a sense of belonging there. That Christmas, we were invited into another home, along with other families who didn't have a family to go to that Christmas, to celebrate it with them. It was through hospitality that we started to connect with other people. And in our Bible passage today that Joe read to us a moment ago, Jesus teaches us about the power of hospitality to connect with people and help them belong. In Luke 14, Jesus is having dinner at the house of this important and powerful man. This man was a prominent Pharisee. The Pharisees were one of the Jewish sects at the time that Jesus was on earth. They were deeply religious. They required a scrupulous adherence to God's law, introducing many man-made rules and extending the law's application beyond what God himself required. Have a look at with me, verse 12. If you have it open on your phone or a Bible, or it will come up on the screen if you don't have either of those with you. Luke chapter 14, verse 12. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbours. If you do, they may invite you back and so you will be repaid." Now, when we invite someone for lunch or dinner, who do we typically invite? Our friends? Our family? Perhaps brothers and sisters, or mums and dads, or aunts and uncles, cousins. Those like us. Those we are comfortable with. Those it's easy to sort of hang out with. Are we any different from this Pharisee we do this too, don't we? Now, of course, Jesus is not saying that we shouldn't have friends and family over for dinner. But as Jesus always does, he goes straight to the heart of the matter of what's really going on here. You see, in the Greco-Roman world, reciprocity was the basis for social interaction. I act in a generous way towards you and befriend you so that in the future you will act generously towards me and return the favour to me. This man had a self-serving motivation for hospitality. He's inviting to dinner those who are likely to invite him for dinner later on in the future. And at the end of that verse 12 there, Jesus says, if you invite those people, they may invite you back and so you will be repaid. Now, we don't have the same culture of reciprocity here in the West, but we do tend to do what's easiest, don't we? Or what's most comfortable. It's relatively easy to show hospitality to those who are close to us, to those that we love, to those who are like us, to those who will, in fact, repay us, isn't it? I don't know about you, but whenever I get invited to someone's place for a meal, I always feel like I need to have them around to our place at some point. So there's a bit of this reciprocity going on there. But God requires something more, something deeper from his people. Have a look at verse 13, which also come up on the screen. Jesus goes on, but when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Jesus is calling this man and us to invite for dinner those who cannot invite us back to their place. And he names specifically the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Why does he name these people? Because these are people who don't normally get invited to dinner. These are people who are not in a position to repay us. And these are symbolic of those people who at the time would have been considered outcasts in Israel. And friends, this is where unconditional hospitality begins. If you're hospitable to these people, you won't be repaid now. That will come in the future. Ever heard the saying, you'll get your reward in heaven? In our individualistic culture, people are more disconnected, more lonely, more isolated now than ever before. For all of our so-called connectedness, we feel this desire, this need to belong acutely. Australian social researcher Hugh McKay recently commented on the paradox of social media. We have this, he says, we have the paradoxical phenomenon of a rising generation of young adults being the most connected in history, but the loneliest. But it's not just young people. Recent research reveals that a quarter of Australians experience problematic levels of loneliness. That's one in every four people in this country. McKay went on to say that people are compensating for this relentless growth of IT in their lives by rediscovering the importance of neighbourhood and face-to-face interaction. We want to create a culture of welcome and hospitality here at the 4:30 service. We want to be a community of God's people who are unconditionally hospitable if we are able, especially to those who are disconnected and to those who feel like they don't belong. As we saw in the video earlier, hospitality, primarily in its original meaning, is affection for the stranger. And we want to reach out to the lonely. We want to welcome and embrace new people. We want to prioritise face-to-face interaction. We want to encourage hospitality not just here on Sundays, not just with things like tea and coffee before the service, but around our meal tables during the week. You know, there's nothing still quite like eating a meal around the table with fellow human beings that makes us feel connected and feel like we belong. Theologian Barry Jones writes this. He says, tables are one of the most important places of human connection. We're most fully alive to life when sharing a meal around a table. Tonight we're having dinner after the service, a hamburger and ice cream and some celebration out there, a bit of live music, which will be fantastic. And we hope you can all stay. It's all provided. We hope you can all stay and connect with us and meet some new people and deepen existing relationships. But starting next week, imagine, for those of us who are able, if we begin to reach out to those we don't know so well, to those who are new or visiting, to those we know who are struggling or are lonely, and invite them to dinner, or perhaps for a coffee. Hospitality can be done in a whole lot of different ways, but there is nothing quite like the meal table. This has been the case across cultures for millennia. But in our case, in our culture, the dinner table is not valued like it once was. Many families no longer have dinner around the table together. And it might be that some of us need to rediscover this important place of human connection. It's not about throwing dinner parties and what has become to be known as entertaining, as great as that can be. It can be kept very simple because it's about welcome. It's about acceptance and connection. It's about all those things that you put up on the screen there before. Laughter and smiles and drinks and fun. Interaction. But why is Jesus calling those of us who follow him to show unconditional hospitality? Why should we do this? Well, we don't have to guess because he goes on to give us the answer. And if you have a Bible there, I'm just going to read from verse 15. We don't have this one up on the screen, so if you don't have it in front of you, perhaps just listen. But following on, Jesus is still at the house of this Pharisee, still around the dinner table. And from verse 15 we read this, "When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, 'Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God.' Jesus replied, 'A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who'd been invited, "Come, for everything is now ready." But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, "I've just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me." And another said, "I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me." Still another said, "I just got married." Sounds like a good excuse. "So I can't come." The servant came back and reported to his master. And then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind and the lame." "Sir," the servant said, "what you ordered has been done, but there is still room." Then the master told his servant, "Go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in, so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who are invited will get a taste of my banquet." Why should we show unconditional hospitality? Because that is what God does. That is God's heart. His grace and forgiveness is available to everyone. He invites everyone to be part of his family. He invites everyone to have a relationship with him, to sit around his table, to have a meal with him, if only they will accept his invitation. This picture of a great banquet is a way of talking about this relationship that God offers to all people and the future that will be enjoyed by those who accept his invitation to the banquet. Those dining with Jesus that night didn't understand that everyone is welcome to enter the kingdom of God. They thought it was just for people like them. But as Jesus points out, they were the ones, in fact, rejecting the invitation because they were rejecting him. In verse 16, at the start, it says, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests, and at the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who'd been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.'" You see, back in those days, A double invitation was the custom. The host would send out the invitation before the date of the dinner to invite people to come, to find out how many were coming, and people would commit to going to the banquet, whether it was the next day or in a few days' time, and then the host would go and do all the shopping, buy the meat and all the ingredients ready for the dinner. And then when the food was cooked and ready to go and ready to be served, the host sent out a message with a traditional second invitation that was, "Come, everything is now ready." This was common in the Middle East at that time. It was simply rude and offensive to the host to pull out now if you'd already said that you were going. And those listening to Jesus knew what he was getting at. They knew that one of the prophets of the Old Testament of the Bible foretold of a day when God would bring salvation to the world, to those who trust in him, using the imagery of this great feast, a great banquet for all who received the invitation. And now God was bringing that salvation about through Jesus. He is the one they'd been waiting for. The moment had arrived. Everything is ready. It's time to eat. Only problem is, they didn't want to come. They rejected him. And they all started making these excuses. The first one, purchase of property. "I've just bought a field. I've just bought a piece of property. I must go and see it." Do you ever buy a property before you go and see it? Anyone ever done that? Well, you're not going. No. Oh, Mr. Maxwell has. Generally speaking, unless you're Ian, you don't do that. You normally go and inspect the property first, don't you? And in the ancient world, they did exactly the same thing. They would go and inspect the property. They'd measure it out. They'd survey the land, and all of those details would go into the contract of purchase. This excuse is a complete insult. It's laughable. It's a complete lie. It's like this man's making something up as an excuse to not have to go to the banquet. Look at the second one. "I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me." It's exactly the same thing. They didn't buy oxen until they had tried them out, until they had gone and seen them in action in the field. And so again, it's an affront to the host. It's a laughable excuse. But what about the third one? Still another said, "I just got married, so I can't come." I know there's a few of you who've just got married recently, so you probably should listen up here. But this is not a case of, "I just got married this afternoon," or "I just got married yesterday." This is a case of, "I just got married recently." And the person who just got married has already committed to going to the banquet, remember. He'd already said yes. But the day the banquet arrives and he decides he wants to be with his wife instead of honouring his commitment to the host. And so he says, "Please excuse me." And so the master of the house sends his servants now to go beyond the village. "Go out quickly," he says, "into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind and the lame." Notice that these are the exact people that Jesus said to his host that he should be inviting for dinner. The servant invites them and they come. But there is still room. And so finally, the master sends the servant out even further to the roads and country lanes and compels them, that's a very strong word, compels them to come in so that my house will be full. Friends, God wants his house to be full. Why should we be unconditionally hospitable to everyone? Because everyone has been invited to God's house for dinner. Everyone. In her book on hospitality, theologian Christine Pohl has observed, "A shared meal is the activity that most closely tied to the reality of God's kingdom, just as it is the most basic expression of hospitality." This is why Jesus, when he walked the earth, ate time and time again with everybody. He ate with prominent religious people like this Pharisee. He ate with those who were far from God. He ate with those who were despised by society. Why? Because God's grace is for all. God's love is for all, and there is still room in God's house. And tonight, there is still room for you and for me. God longs for each of us to belong to him, to be part of his family, to share in this great banquet. The servant is told to compel them to come in so that God's house will be full. That's how much God loves you. That's how much God longs to have a relationship with you. He wanted his servant to compel them strongly to come in. And Jesus made that possible by dying on the cross, we've already sung about tonight, as a perfect sacrifice so that our sins could be forgiven, and through trusting in him and what he's done for us, we could be made right with God and know him personally. Friends, the grace of God is remarkable. You may hear the term sometimes, amazing grace, like it is truly amazing. And many who were originally invited to this feast, they missed out, because it all depends on how we respond to Jesus. It still all depends on how we respond to Jesus today. And so what does this mean for us here at 4:30? Well, two things. Our vision is to be a place where the heart of God is reflected in who we are and all that we do, not just here on Sundays at 4:30, but in all of life. And we want to be a place where everyone is welcome. We want this to be a place, a community where you can connect, where you can belong, where you can explore life and faith, explore meaning and purpose. And as I said, we'll talk about that more next week. But if you're here tonight and you don't know what to make of the church, you don't know what to make of Christianity, you don't know what to make of Jesus, then you are so welcome. We are so glad that you're here. And you are welcome to come here anytime, any week, every week. Because we want to do our best by God's grace to model his heart and live his heart and love for all people. And the second thing it means for us is that we want to be a community of God's people who deepen connection and belonging through hospitality. Friends, as a community of God's people, it's not just about coming to church, even as important as that is, but we are a community that are meant to share life together as well. And it's our heart and our vision that we would grow in our desire and in putting into practice hospitality as we are able in its many and varied forms throughout the week, to seek to share the heart of God, the love and grace of God that's available to all through unconditional hospitality. I think in the day and age in which we live, as I've already said, people are crying out for connection. Perhaps you've been crying out for connection, because we all need to be connected. We all need to belong. And we can go looking for that connection and that belonging in all sorts of places. But ultimately, we will only find our rest in God and in the salvation that he offers to us. We will only ever find that sense of belonging when we come home to our Creator. And we long to be a people who will live out God's heart through hospitality around the meal table, in the coffee shop, in the cafe, on a regular basis. And so I wonder tonight, as we finish, and I'll just ask the team to come up as we sing our final song. I wonder tonight if you might just stand with me. And let's just pray before we sing our final song. Father, we give you thanks tonight for sending Jesus to this earth. Thank you for the story that we've looked at, that we have recorded, of his interaction around the meal table. Thank you for his life and ministry that so clearly demonstrates to us who you are. That if we want to know who God is, we look at Jesus, and in him we see the Father. We see you, we see your character, we see your heart, we see your love and grace. Thank you for the invitation to us all. Father, give us the grace to respond to the invitation of love and forgiveness that you offer so freely to us. And empower us to pass that invitation on and to demonstrate that grace, that love, that hospitality, that sense of family and welcome through the lives that we live, showing unconditional hospitality to all, whether they believe in you or not, whether they reject you or choose to believe in you or not, wherever people are at in life. May your love flow through us and bring blessing to those we interact with. And it's for your glory we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.